And joining us now, one of the very top analysts in the NFL for CBS and a great friend, Phil Simms. Phil, welcome back to the show.
Well, Vic, always a pleasure to be on, and I really do. I appreciate you having me on.
Well, I know you study quarterbacks about as thoroughly as anyone can, and this has been the year when rookie quarterback discussion has dominated. And, yeah, the Browns are part of that discussion with Brandon Whedon. Wanted to get your thoughts on what you've seen of young Whedon so far.
Yeah, well, I think I've talked about him a lot so far this year, and there's no doubt you can see the improvement and that he's getting more comfortable, and he's starting to show off what I think is – you know, a good trait of his that made him a first-round draft pick in the NFL is the fact that he can get the football down the football field with ease. And I think that's always to me, that's a great skill. Can you make the big throws and not have to work real hard at it? He can do that, and that's why it should give the Cleveland fans a little hope, especially from the offensive side.
This has come up since the day he was drafted, and I guess it's brought up probably a little more this week because on Sunday he turns 29. And I wonder from your perspective, Phil, how much that you came into the league more conventionally in terms of age when you were drafted by the Giants. But where do you fall on that whole issue of how much it matters that he is 29 as a rookie?
Well, I'll just say this: I don't think it's as big a deal as it used to be, because who are we kidding? Everybody goes, you know, they talk about careers. So he's in the prime of his career as far as age wise to me for quarterbacks. 28 to 36. So, you know, really, if you're a Browns fan or an NFL fan, you know, 7 years down the road, you know, whatever, who cares? I mean, it means nothing. It really does. I think the fact that he's older, you know, of course, he's going to have a little more toughness to him mentally just because age does that to you regardless if you're playing football or not. And he did get a lot of throws at Oklahoma State, that's for sure. So that and being put in there right away with the Cleveland Browns, I think it's, you know, the growing process, getting him ready to be a winning quarterback, all those things are shortened because of the circumstances you've talked about.
And when we talk about that process from Oklahoma State transitioning to the NFL, the type of offense that he ran there, he seems very he was in shotgun, obviously, quite a bit in college, but he seems very comfortable working under center, which is mostly the case, and handling this Browns West Coast scheme.
Yeah, I think I think he does look comfortable under the center. People, I'm sure a lot of fans are always going, well, gosh, it can't be that difficult. And I say to them, be careful there. I think it's a little more difficult than you think.
Right.
And it's just about the body movement, the mechanics of throwing the football, just learning that, you know, to get in that rhythm of faking, turning, dropping back, he's transitioned well. I just think it shows you, too, Vic, that he's, you know, he was put on earth to throw it. Yeah. And it's a baseball, a rock skipping across the pond or lake, or throwing a football. You can see it's pretty natural for him, so he's made a great transition.
And it really seems to be going well in general for a few of these guys, watching Andrew Luck with his big game against the Packers, watching Robert Griffin III, the way he's played. In any way, and I know this about you and I collaborated on a book in which you stated very emphatically that there shouldn't be this fear of putting a rookie quarterback out there because, oh my God, he won't be able to handle things. You're a proponent of throwing guys into the fire, unless I'm wrong about that, but that's what I remember your stance was. So you are all for this idea of these guys playing and doing as well as they've done really the last 2 years with rookie quarterbacks.
Yeah, it's such a new day and age. It really is. They're so much more prepared. And quite honestly, there's just better quarterbacks coming to the league now, or more of them than there ever has been before. And that will continue. Every year we're going to have a crop of QBs because of the way football is being played at all levels. And, you know, you draft them in the first round for a reason. Most likely you draft them in the first round because they have more physical talent than the guys you have on your roster. So they have the physical talent. You know, a little experience helps. But I think the other thing is, too, why they can make it work is because most teams, when they draft a quarterback high, are putting everything into that quarterback. In other words, drafting players around him, free agents, the coaching, the management of the game is all about their quarterback. And when you do that, they progress faster, and you really get an identity as a football team. So that's just a couple reasons why it's working, and we're seeing some young quarterbacks. I'm watching them. And from first year to second year, I see a tremendous difference in a lot of these guys. I watched Christian Ponder, and I can't even believe it's the same guy I watched at Florida State. Because I'm not ashamed to say it. I did not like him coming out. I couldn't find anything at Florida State to make me think that he was a so-called franchise quarterback or a first-rounder. But, hey, I'll eat those words because I watched him again last week and I went, wow, he looks good. And, Vic, the other big thing is you can tell he's being coached very well and he is taking to it. He's been a big surprise up there in Minnesota.
Phil Simms from CBS, and you can also catch him on Showtime's Inside the NFL. This week's edition will debut tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern time. You just put that show together today.
And got Lawrence Taylor on tonight, so, you know, we'll see. We did some long segments with him. We'll see how they cut a couple of them up. But
your former teammate with the Giants.
Yeah. It's not the usual show, that's for sure. So.
I'm looking forward to that already.
All right.
But, Phil, again, on this quarterback discussion, Luck's performance was something special because, I guess, the circumstances, right? The emotion, Chuck Pagano going to the hospital for treatment. You too, to the Phil Simms school of thought, believe that, you know, emotion and motivation, those things can drive a lot. But obviously, you also have to be able to play well. But how big of a role did the Pagano part have in that?
Well, I think once they once the team kind of found its rhythm, you know, I always say it, they caught up, they had the fever. And then on really on both sides of the ball, the second half of that game, that was a whipping. And it was incredible. I couldn't believe I was watching a 15-1 team from last year. I thought Green Bay's offense physically got beat up. And Indianapolis's offense, the only thing that kept that game close, it was a first-year quarterback because Bruce Arians must have just come in and saw Andrew Luck and took one of those double dictionary playbooks and threw it on the table and said, all right, here it is. We're going to do them all. We're going to do everything. Mm-hmm. And they do. It's unbelievable to watch this Colts offense to see where it is after four games and the amount of stuff they run and execute. And when Andrew Luck really gets the hang of being an NFL thrower, well, the numbers are going to be ridiculous because the coordinator and the head coach right now, Bruce Arians, is giving him lots of opportunities, and they got some talented wide receiver. And the system is, I don't know what else to say about it except it's fantastic. So Andrew Luck is one of those guys we're talking about. This franchise, the draft, everything about the Colts is about Andrew Luck. They're focusing in on him, and it's not going to work. It's going to work big time. And I don't know. It might even be this year. Yeah. I'm not going to say they can't be a playoff team this year.
Wow.
This team is going to – they're on the upswing, and it's going to happen fast.
And RG3 had that unfortunate collision for him, but something
he's
got to learn from as well. But other than that, generally, it's all the things you say about Luck and what he means to the Colts. We're seeing the Redskins focus with RG3 as well.
Yeah, you know, but it's a different thing. It's a little bit, it's a different way of doing it, of course. They're not the same type of quarterback. But I think the Redskins, as time goes on, will settle into a core of NFL plays. And I don't know if they have that right now. You know, one week it was screens, and then it was the fake screens and throw it inside. And then it was fake this, and the quarterback ran. And then we did the option. And, you know, sooner or later in this league, you got to drop back and throw a curl. You got to throw in cuts, and you just got to do the mundane stuff that's maybe not exciting to the fans that we don't pay attention to. But I think that, you know, they're progressing towards that. But the Redskins' passing offense is not close to where it will be probably in another year or so.
Of the perfect records right now, the Falcons at 5-0, the Texans at 5-0. Which of those do you believe in the most?
I believe in them both. No hesitation. The Texans have depth, a lot of good players. Question marks about them. Maybe worry about their right side of their offensive line. Let's put just a little thing there. I do worry about their second wide receiver. If Andre Johnson was the Andre Johnson of 4 years ago, I wouldn't say that. I don't know if he is yet. Maybe he will turn into that. But the second wide receiver would worry me. And but they're very good. A lot of good defensive players. And for the Atlanta Falcons, you also know, yeah, you need talent in the NFL, but coaches make stars.
Right.
And I believe that so deep in my heart. Well, how did the Texans defense go from almost last to first in 1 year? All the players like lifted weights that offseason and they changed them? I mean, you know, it's the coaching.
Yeah.
And when you look at Atlanta, Dirk Cutter, what he's done to this offense, he's turned Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, and Roddy White into damn supers. Tony Gonzalez, it looks like he's 25. I watched him twice on, you know, coach's tape, and I kept going, this Gonzalez will not retire when this year's over if this keeps up.
Right.
It's too easy. He's got to be having fun. He is in nothing. It's a pass offense first, and they're doing a great job. And also, just like Mike Nolan, how about what he did against Peyton Manning? Let's stand 11 of them up and move around because we're trying to stop some of the basic plays that Peyton always runs. And it worked. It was just enough for them to hang on. So that's what it's about. I think that's one of the big reasons why I believe in the Atlanta Falcons.
Steelers going to be on Thursday night football. They're at 2-2. Looking at the rest of the AFC North, of course, the Ravens they're at 4-1, and the Browns taking on the 3-2 Bengals. As you look at the rest of this AFC North, how is it stacking up for you? How strongly do you believe that you have a contending team, a Super Bowl team, perhaps, as people have talked about in this Ravens team, which the Browns gave a good fight to on Thursday night?
Listen. I thought the Browns outplayed them. And the difference is the Browns just weren't ready to win. Mm. You know, the game was set up. It was there. But they couldn't take advantage of it because they're not ready yet. The high on, whatever you want to say, Shermer needs more time. The quarterback wasn't ready. Some of the young players weren't ready. But they were there. I got to see more from the Ravens. I'm not a huge believer yet. I just think that, you know, I thought it was a miracle they beat Kansas City this past week when I watched the game. I went, wow. You know, they're fumbling on the 6-inch line. The Kansas City Chiefs did everything they could to lose, and finally they did because they were trying hard. We want to lose. And they finally got it done, you know, knocked the ball up in the air, which their receivers seem to do every week you watch them. It's a tip pass for an interception. So the Ravens, the defense is a concern, and you know that Joe Flacco I think is playing very well, but the defense I still don't know if they can pressure the passer enough to be a big time contender yet.
And the Steelers?
Well, the Steelers, you know, of course I like John Harbaugh a lot. There's no doubt, but you know, look at Mike Tomlin keeps his team on edge. And they just got the great equalizer, Vic. You know, you go through all these things, but man, they got the equalizer over there. The quarterback is special, and when they win, you just go, well, they wouldn't have won if they wouldn't have been Roethlisberger. Well, the problem is they got him.
Yeah.
But we'll see. But again, their defense—it would concern me. It really would. They can't pressure the quarterback without a unique blitz and. You see this league now. It's hard to get free runners at quarterbacks.
Sure.
When you see a team that lets free runners come at the quarterback, just remember it because there'll be another new coach there next year. You got to be able to pick blitzes up. So the Steelers, to me, have a lot of question marks too. But Rashard Mendenhall coming back, oh, my gosh. A couple times last week against Philadelphia, Vic, he looked like he was shot out of a cannon.
Yeah.
And that's a big deal. But the quarterback just... He's just a big eraser. He can cover up a lot of things on a football team.
Phil, I could talk with you forever about this game. Great stuff, and appreciate it, and we will talk soon, my friend.
Well, Vic, always a pleasure, and I'm doing a better job this year. I'm trying to follow the teams closer, so I've been watching the Browns play, and I saw the Giant game, and boy, you think, but that's just a sign of a team that's not ready. When you get a lead like that, you can't hold it because there's still too many loose ends.
Sure.
And the fact that they should have beat the Ravens, but I know it's going to get better, and you do see Trent Richardson. I'm a believer. A lot of good things to build on, that's for sure.
He is the real deal, and you're the real deal. He is Phil Simms from from CBS Sports, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Much more is coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.